We're going to talk about one of the preeminent mountaintop experiences. Moses had his mountaintop experience with God. We're going to talk about the one with Jesus. So we're in Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. In your pew Bibles, that's page 44 in the New Testament. And I'm going to read half of the passage, and then we're going to talk about it, and then I'm going to read the second half of the passage later in the message. So, Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings or tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And they were coming down the mountain. He ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what his rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." And so today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's actually the day that we remember this story and focus on it, and that's why our paraments here are white, because it shows the glory and the purity of Jesus Christ. And so we switch to white, as opposed to the green, which is for growth and ordinary time. And then next week we'll go to purple, because we move into the season of Lent. And so this is the story of the transfiguration. Transfigure simply means to transform. It means a complete change of form or substance into a more beautiful or a spiritual state. And in this case, Jesus was transfigured into his divine state. He was seen as he would be seen in heaven. And so Peter and James and John experienced this in a powerful way. And then the two, what you might call the two top dogs of the Old Testament showed up, Elijah and Moses. And Elijah was expected from the Old Testament prophecies. He'd been prophesied prior to this that he would come before the Messiah. And so he is there as well as Moses. Both of their deaths, Moses and Elijah, are questionable. Moses went to be by himself and was taken to be with the Lord. And then Elijah, of course, did not die. He went up in a fiery chariot, right? You all remember that story where he was taken up in a fiery chariot. So there's kind of this sense of they never really died on this earth. They just kind of transitioned to heaven, and so now they're able to come back. Peter, of course, you know, being the practical person, he's kind of deifying the experience and saying, "This is awesome. This is really good for us to be here. I'm going to build three dwelling places." It's actually tabernacles in the Greek. What I hadn't really thought about until I was researching this past week is this kind of shows that he saw Jesus at the same level as Moses and Elijah. We're going to build three dwelling places for you, one for each of you. So he kind of saw them all three as the same level without really recognizing the fact that Jesus was superior to Moses and Elijah. But then God kind of clued him in, didn't he? Cloud appears over the mountain, and this voice cries out, "This is my son, my beloved one. Listen to him." Twice the Lord speaks and calls Jesus his son. What's the other time? At the baptism. Very good. So when Jesus was baptized at the beginning of his ministry by John the Baptist, the voice of God spoke from heaven. And here at the Mount of Transfiguration, it speaks again. He speaks again. This is almost a quote from Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 says this, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice." So this a passage written 400 years prior to Jesus' life, and now we're hearing the words spoken from God. And so Peter wanted to stay there, but Jesus said, no, we're going to head down the mountain. And they kind of had a conversation as they were going down the mountain, and they were discussing what had just happened, and what about Elijah? Gosh, we just saw Elijah, and how they would recognize him, I'm not quite sure, but they somehow knew that it was Elijah and Moses. And so Peter, trying to be very theological, was saying, hey, Elijah's supposed to come first, kind of wondering if that was him. And Jesus clarifies it and makes sure that they understand that John the Baptist represented Elijah. This is a little clearer in the Matthew telling of the story, but in here in the Mark telling, it's implied. So this is what we would call a true mountaintop experience, right? So what are some of the elements that we could see when we experience a mountaintop experience? One, we're in the presence of God, and we feel this sense of transformation, of glory all around us. And I think when Anne kind of described that, standing around the fire pit, how many of you have experienced those summer camps where you've been around the fire pit? And yeah, I remember them very well, and very much experiencing the sense of the Spirit there. And mountaintop experiences help to remind us who we are, right? Just because Jesus was the Son of God, we have to remember that we are children of God. And so when we're on our mountaintop experiences, oftentimes we'll have that experience of walking away saying, wow, I am loved by God. God claims me as his child. God loves me and will care for me just as a father cares for his children. And then God speaks to Jesus and says, listen to him. So I think part of the mountaintop experience is that reminder that we have a voice. We are meant to proclaim the good news. We are meant to speak about God. And it's not just about having a mountaintop experience where I say, wow, that was awesome. But we're supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to tell people about it. And so these mountaintop experiences actually give us strength to face the valleys that we experience in life. So let's continue reading. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the disciples at the base of the mountain, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Scribes were kind of the legal scholars of the day. And when the whole crowd saw Jesus, they were immediately overcome with awe. I mean, he must have still had that kind of glow about him, right? And they ran forward to greet him, and he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so. And he answered them, you faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him. and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." So after this wonderful mountaintop experience, Jesus comes down to a crowd, and they're arguing, and it must have been very intense for Jesus to experience that, and the other disciples as well. And then they find out that they're arguing about this boy who is convulsing and oftentimes putting himself in life-threatening situations. And so Jesus takes care of it. And I think one of my favorite passages in the Bible is this passage of the man. "I do believe. Help my unbelief." I mean, how many of us have said that? "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Scripture. Help me to believe better. Help my unbelief. Yes, I have faith. Help my lack of faith." Right? I think we're all there. If we think there are certain people that have such great faith that they have no questions, no doubts whatsoever, that's hard to believe, right? I don't have faith in people like that. I have faith in people that struggle, that wrestle a little bit with their faith, and they have those doubts occasionally, and ask God, "Please strengthen my faith. I do believe in you. Strengthen my belief." And so that's a good lesson for us in this passage to remind us. For me, there's this wonderful balance in this whole story of mountain high, mountaintop experiences, transfigured, presence of God, glory, and valley low. Overwhelmed by sickness, by incompetence, by unmet expectations, by crowds and arguing and debating, division. So it's any surprise after Jesus has had this wonderful experience on the mountaintop, he's been hanging out with two of his best buddies, Elijah and Moses. He comes down, he's glowing, people recognize it, they see it, wow, he's glowing, and he has to put up with this. And his response just cracks me up. We have this vision of Jesus being so loving and caring all the time. What does he say? "How long do I have to put up with you guys? You knuckleheads?" That's the Lance translation of that verse. "How long do I have to put up with you?" He just experienced this mountaintop experience, and then he comes down to deal with this. Have you ever had that happen in your life? You go on vacation, you feel great, and then you come home and you go, "Oh my gosh, how long do I have to put up with this?" You go back to the office and you're like, "Oh, I wish I was still back on the islands. Why do I have to put up with all this stuff?" I think it's one of my favorite, Frasier episodes when Niles, who's always in a three-piece suit and very proper, and then he goes to the islands for a week and he comes back wearing shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, and he's Island Niles, you know. My brother-in-law's like that. Every time he goes to Hawaii, he comes back as Island Lawrence, and I laugh at him and just go, okay, it's going to take a week or two for him to get back to his normal self. But we all kind of get that, right? And especially if you've gone up into the mountains and had one of those spiritual experiences, and then you come back and go, "Oh, the world's still the same. Oh, shoot, I still have to put up with all this stuff." That's part of life. And what I appreciate about this passage is the need for both. Because life is filled with ups and downs, and you need the up experiences to strengthen you and prepare you and equip you to face the down experiences. Anybody have money in the stock market right now? Speaking of ups and downs, we're setting records of how high it is. Oh my gosh, we had a record drop of, you know. It's like this. I thank God my grandfather had an MBA from Harvard. He would always say, "Long term, Lance, long term. Don't ever worry about the up and down. Always keep your eye on the long term." And for us, that's the way. I mean, I put a kind of a cartoon on my Facebook this past week, but we sometimes look and we're here and we look up and we say, one day I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's going to be an awesome day. And we think we're just going to walk straight in this direction and it's just going to be this ramp up and there's nothing along the way. But really, in reality, there's a pit that we have to go through and rocks and we have to row across a boat and there's a fire somewhere along the way. And constantly in our own lives, we have to go through trials and difficulties. That's the way life is. The tough thing is a lot of people are going through all of those without those mountaintop experiences. So the importance of us taking time in our own lives to go and spend time with God to strengthen us and equip us to face the valleys of life. We need our mountaintops in order to have strength for the valleys. We need the mountain high in order to face the valley low. So our own faith journey can go through highs and lows, right? Unfortunately, sometimes we deify that mountaintop experience. We just think that that's God, not really God, but our experience is God, and so we focus so much on that. Now, it's said that Presbyterian preachers have to mention Calvin at least once a month in their sermons. So I'll mention Calvin here. In the comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin actually has a cardboard box that he calls the transmogrifier. And with the transmogrifier, it means that you can get inside of this box, you can set it to whatever thing you want to become, and you hit the button and you become that thing. Whether it's, what are some of the things I noticed in the comic? Here we go. It can be a bug, it can be a dinosaur, it can be a lungfish, a musk ox, whatever you want to become, you just hit the button and you become that thing. And I think that's sometimes what we think about our experiences on the mountaintop. Well, I'm just going to become this wonderful person and I'm going to be great and everything's going to be perfect and I need to keep going up and spending time up there and I don't want to ever come down because I am a good person up here. But God says, no. I have equipped you in order to go into the world and share my good news. So that's part of the rhythm. There's this rhythm of highs and lows, this rhythm of empowerment and then service, this rhythm of infilling of the Spirit and then outpouring of love and compassion into the world. You cannot effectively have one without the other. You have to have both. We go through the highs and lows as individuals. We go through highs and lows in our relationships with God. We go through highs and lows in our relationship with our spouses. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, right? I mean, I have known times where my grandparents were married 60 plus years, and there were times where I talked to my grandmother, and she would say, oh, there were times where I was ready to walk out on your grandfather. He was driving me crazy. He was doing this and that. But then I figured, I've been with him this long, I might as well stay with him another few days. And then by the time they came to the end of their life, they were back in love and everything, you know, holding hands and stuff. And so there's just these peaks and valleys that you go through in your relationships together. There's peaks and valleys between parents and children. You'll have times where you feel disconnected from each other, and then you get back together and start to make sense together again. Peaks and valleys with families. You go through peaks and valleys with your friendships and relationships with friends. And as a church, we go through peaks and valleys, right? We've had great mountaintop experiences in the past, and we've struggled and gone through valleys as a church together. The problem is not the valley experience. The problem is that too many people bail out in the valley. And you just have to stick it out because the valley spurs you to go to the mountain again. Not to turn and walk away, but to say, gosh, I need to reconnect to God. I love the fact that Jesus went away to be in prayer on a regular basis. And if he needed to do it, how much more do we need to do it? So when you get to the point of saying, how much longer do I have to put up with this or with these people, just remember, Jesus didn't bail on them. He took time to be alone with God and get recharged. So, here's the lessons. The lesson first is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived here in the flesh, looked like us, but he was fully divine at the same time. He had power over demons, and some people would say this was a mental health issue or a neurological issue, or that this boy was an epileptic or whatever. Whatever the case, Jesus had power over it. Jesus was and is the Messiah. But he still took time. Jesus, the Son of God, still took time to recharge his batteries. So we need to do that as well. Second, we need mountaintop experiences in our lives. I appreciate the stories that we heard. 8 years old, junior high. Here with the heading over to Haiti, all these experiences. We need those stories in our lives. We need to continue to do that, hopefully having mountaintop experiences from time to time. We hope that every Sunday morning is a small mountaintop experience, you know, just to recharge the batteries for the week in a spiritual way. That's why we have put an important priority on our retreats with our young people, sending our youth. I know this past summer when our youth went on their summer retreat, it was a powerful experience. At the end of the week, the pastor who was in charge said, anybody that would like to come up and have prayer for you as an individual, we have a chair up here, and you're invited to come forward, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray for you. Every single kid chose to do that, and they came away feeling the Spirit of God in a very powerful way. So they will have that mountaintop experience, and 50 years from now, they're going to be sitting in these pews telling those stories. Well, maybe not. That's why this summer, we've been contacted by Forest Home. And Forest Home is a camp, and I've been there many times with other youth groups, but it's expensive. It costs like $400 to go up there for a week for family camp. This summer, they're going to come here and do day camp for kids in our parking lot and in our facility. So instead of having vacation Bible school, we're going to have Forest Home camp here. And it's not going to cost anything because another church in our presbytery is going to fund it. So we might charge $10 or something. We'll discuss that at session. But it's going to be, and so we're bringing the mountaintop experience here to have those experiences for children. It's going to be first through sixth. So third, mountaintop experiences empower us and equip us to face the valley low experiences. We need to find that balance between the two. So be thinking about that. Am I too much in the valley right now and not spending enough time on the mountain? Or am I too much on the mountain and not spending enough time in the valley? So find your balance. Find your balance between mountain high and valley low.